So, I guess I should do the intro now.
It's all you.
So, welcome to the Hello Show with David Kendall. That's me, and Dave Lyons.
Hello.
Yes. In this, we're going to talk about. What are we going to talk about, Dave? App.
Some old school stuff, some new school stuff, and how not to wreck your keyboard.
Yes, exactly. That's what's the expression? A good segue? I should explain for
Right.
our listeners that I, David, am British, but you, Dave, are actually in Michigan, in America.
Right. I should have called myself Davey or something. They would have got the Davy Crockett reference. But I think after a while they'll get to know our voices
Yeah,
and.
yeah. So David is the British one. Dave
And
is the
Dave.
American one.
Right, sir.
Okay, so why don't you tell people about your keyboard project?
Right. I usually sit at my Mac in the morning before I go to work, just doing some last minute reading and writing and things like that. And I have one of those coffee mugs that work great in your car cup holder. They're a little bit wider at the top, they're narrow at the bottom. And so they fit into a cup holder very nicely. But my clumsy self, when I got up to leave for work, spilled my coffee mug all over my Apple Pro USB keyboard. And this is the kind that came with like the later model iMac G3s and the very first G4 Power Macs.
I think my iMac probably came to its original owner with one. It's one of
Right.
the last model.
Yeah, they're very nice. They've got black keys, they've got the see-through casing. They get very dirty. They cr catch a lot of crumbs and they show up. But they're not supposed to catch coffee. They're not supposed to do that. So I was, running late for work, and so I'm in this mad scramble, and I turn my keyboard upside down, and all this coffee is just draining out of it. So I place it on top of a towel, and I just say, "To heck with it, I'll worry about it when I get home." Well, when I got home, I plugged the keyboard into my iMac, and some of the keys worked, but the middle ones, like the F and the G and the H, they were unresponsive. And so I thought, well, shucks, like I'll just have to order a new one. And a little bit of backup, I bought a new iMac back in October, and I knew my propensity for like spilling things, that it would be a good idea to use an old style Apple keyboard because that way I could ruin it and I wouldn't care that much. But this one I thought, well, this is a good chance to try out the old theory that you can stick a keyboard in the dishwasher and run it on one of the cycles, the not the pots and pans one, just the regular old dishes cycle, with no soap,
No
as you,
soap.
David, recommended.
And no,
And
no heat either, yeah.
no, that's right, you can't let it air dry. So I said, well, what the heck, I'll give it a try. And I cleaned the keyboard up a little bit, and I stuck the USB slot into the one of the, like where you stick your mouse, the little USB port there. Stuck it in there, stuck it in the top rack of the dishwasher, and let it run. And then when I took it out, it was clean, and I stuck it on top of a register, a heat register, so that it would air dry and get dry from the heater. And a couple days later, I plugged it in, and what do you know? It worked.
Right. So, that's your keyboard project.
Right, so I'm here to report that you can stick your keyboard in the dishwasher just fine. But I'll tell you, I did buy another Apple Pro keyboard on eBay just in case it
Just in
didn't
case,
work.
yeah.
So
Oh, it's
I hedged my bets.
always had a backup. So,
Right.
you said you got the new. That's the new iMac, the one where the glass touches right to the edge of the bezel.
Right, I
Yeah.
opted for the 21.5 inch
Right.
model.
You got the which one did you get? The mid-range one? They do it in two or three different ones.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's got 4 gigs of RAM and a 500 gigabyte hard drive. So it wasn't, the terabyte version, but it was the middle of the
That
road.
sounded like the mid-range version. So, you having mentioned hard drives, That brings us on to my little project, which was that I totally took apart and then put back together again my iMac G3. This is an operation I would not recommend for anybody who isn't, like I was, desperately running out of hard drive space and had a broken CD drive. So, story is, back in September, I think it was, I got from eBay my iMac G3, which is my first Mac in a long time.
Which one did you get?
Sorry? The iMac.
I said which? Yeah.
I got the 500 megahertz one. The summer
Okay.
2001 500 megahertz. So right at the very end, before the G4, which I know you love.
Right.
So it came, as the seller said, with a 20 gigabyte hard drive and a broken CD drive. It's ex education, and it's pretty good shape for a computer like that. Shortly after I got it, I did take it apart, and I managed to pull out, once I'd got rid of the felt covering in front of the CD drive, I managed to pull out of the drive a ticket for a fishing lake for a day back in April 2004. So, it's a pretty weird thing to find in a.
It's too bad you can't use it.
So I pulled that out, and the CD drive. It would now take a disc, but it kind of made some weird spinning noises and then just ejected it. So, come about mid-December, I searched on eBay for replacement drives for these. I couldn't find anywhere in the UK selling working ones of these, but I did manage to find one coming from the US, the place in Texas, I think. And it was a DVD-ROM, not the CD-ROM that this originally came with, which is good for me because I can just stick a Tiger DVD in there and it not have to worry about having four different CDs. So I brought a friend around who's into the whole computer thing, and we tore the whole thing apart, which is not easy. You have to,
Oh, those are so frustrating.
yeah, you have to take the whole of the bottom off. You have to turn it, you have to have the whole thing upside down. There's a picture in my Flickr from when I took it apart the first time, and it's just insane how many screws you need and. Yeah. So,
And is what that one of the ones where you have to slide the whole chassis out? Like you have to yank on it and the hard drive and the CD-ROM and everything comes out.
no, you do have to take
Oh.
a heat sink off, like a big heat shield and big metal heat shield that surrounds almost the whole iMac. You do have to take that off, and that's a pain because it's kind of embedded into the plastic in like around the edges. And it's caught on the VGA port as well, which is on the back. And then you have to be very careful as well not to drop any screws inside because it goes into the CRT area, which can cause a short circuit, which is bad news.
But you did drop
I
one.
did drop one, yeah. But we found, well, I had to hand a very small little magnet, which we attached onto the end of a piece of solder, dropped it in, and just yanked it out. And we didn't drop another one in after that. So, having replaced that, we booted it up and, moment of truth, has it worked? Inserted the macOS 9 CD to install that first. So, I've now got a booting OS 9 system as well as the OS 10.
But it
It
worked.
worked. We installed a firmware update as well, which the previous owner hadn't done. And it works great. I mean, it's marvelous having 50 gigabytes of free space instead of two.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. I've taken apart a couple of the earlier model iMacs, like the Bondi and the 333 megahertz ones. And those, you have to slide this giant chassis out with the hard drive and the CD-ROM and everything on it. And it's just not a lot of fun. But, they make them that way. So, the iMac is not made to be broken into and updated and all that good stuff.
Not quite to such extreme measures as the original Mac, of course, which was...
That's true.
Yeah, I think they used special screws, so you needed a special toolkit to get inside.
Yep, the Torx screwdriver.
Yeah,
you had to have one with a long handle. A buddy of mine helped me get apart one of my Mac SEs, and he needed a special kind of screwdriver to get that thing apart.
You have some Mac SEs?
Yeah, I've got two of them.
Oh, all right. Do you use them?
One I do. I have a couple of the original versions of like Photoshop and PageMaker and Illustrator back in the day when Aldus, made PageMaker.
I bet that's fun on a black and white screen.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So you could just imagine what green looked like,
Yeah.
But the other one I was going to save for a Macquarium. I want to gut it out and turn it into an aquarium.
The only thing that bothers me about that is you have to look after the fish.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
But I would just love to do it. I just need to find some sort of vase or a glass jar or something like that that's about 9 inches wide, 7 inches deep, and 13 inches tall or something like that. And it's not easy. They're not easy to find.
And you could probably sync that straight with your Newton as well, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Without any futzing around with the USB adapters and all that.
Yep. I would just have to install System 7 in there.
Right, yeah.
It's running 6 6 right now.
System 7, of course, is the theme for our, the theme, quote unquote, for our website. The little icons on it, which are all done by me.
I think you've got an admission to make here on what program you use to make those.
I have discovered through trial and error, more or less, that the best program for making pixel art is, in fact, Microsoft Paint. Zoomed in right to the maximum zoom level. It's
so pixel by pixel.
Painting, primitive tool, but does the job.
That's how they did it back in the day.
Yeah. Have you seen the new ones I just put up just for this this episode?
No, I haven't checked it out yet.
Just the website helloshow.net, and it says it's got the last testing entry that I posted, and it's got the little icons there that I drew just for this episode.
Oh, great! Well, I'll check it out.
So it was like a keyboard and a little iMac and.
So you've been busy.
Yeah. I haven't closed Tech Strangler, I don't think, all weekend. with getting this this website up and running before we recorded today.
Well, you did a nice job. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
So the iMac that you lovingly have called Donald, this is the first Mac that you've owned.
Owned, yes. It's not the first Mac I've used. I had a pretty broad childhood with in computing terms. I mean, I spent most of my time on Windows, but I also used the Mac quite regularly because of my brother's friend, and Unix I learned quite early on as well. Like not early on, like I'm talking like probably age 12, 13.
That's pretty young for Unix. That's a quick way to grow up.
Yeah. So I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to computers, actually. If I ever had a reason to switch away from Apple, if I believed that truly believe that somebody else had a better computing platform, I would not hesitate at all to switch.
You wouldn't feel bad about
no?
it?
No. Just getting that out there, just so you know.
You're not going to pledge your allegiance to anyone just yet.
Right.
Well, I learned computers on a Mac. My junior high had a Mac lab in it, and so
right.
I learned, you know, very simple concepts like double-clicking and how to type, and we had SimCity on those things. They were, I don't remember which Mac it was, but they were great little machines.
Would that have been SimCity 2000?
I'm sorry?
SimCity 2000, would that have been?
No,
yeah.
the original
SimCity.
SimCity.
Oh, I have.
Yes.
I never played that except on the SNES on the Super Nintendo.
Yep, I've got that one too. I love that game.
Yeah.
But my dad bought an old Packard Bell 486, and that's what I really cut my teeth on in computing.
Right.
And then we had some Macs. We had some Power Mac G4 Quicksilvers in my newspaper office in college, and that's really where the bug started to bite me.
Yeah.
So that when I graduated and came home in 2005, I bought my first Mac, which was an iBook G4, and I've been drinking the Kool-Aid ever since.
What model do you have? Do you have like the last model?
Yep, the very last edition of it, the 1.42 gigahertz.
Oh, you got the
14-inch.
14-inch one. See, I'm looking
yep.
into possibly getting one of those since I'll be changing school in the autumn, or what you'd call the fall. So
they are still magnificent
yeah,
laptops.
I
could use that as my everyday machine
yeah.
even today.
I was thinking of getting the 12-inch one just because it's that little bit more portable and... Really, 1.3, 1.4 gigahertz. According to Apple, based on Apple's specifications, the difference is 90 megahertz, which doesn't make a difference with today's computers, really.
Right.
You're not going to notice that.
That's a drop in the hat.
Yeah. If this was 1995, yep. like a 90 megahertz increase would be like probably double the speed of my computer. Triple
and double the price.
Yeah. So.
No, that's a great little laptop. I still run YouTube on there. I can still do all my graphic design stuff on it. It's a great machine.
Is YouTube at all like? Does it freeze occasionally? Do you get skip frames or anything?
Nope.
No.
Usually, if I let it queue enough, where it gets a little bit of a head start, and then hit play. It's fine. It's great.
Have you used MacTubes?
No.
No? It's a, mm-hmm. it's a YouTube client for the Mac. It, effectively what it does, it lets you browse YouTube as a native application. But then you can...
Well, I'll be darned.
But then you can download them in, I think, H.264, Flash, and probably something else. But you can
yeah.
you can actually download them, and that makes it much faster for me on my little weedy G3 here.
So you still get some enjoyment.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. I put in the DVD of 2001: A Space Odyssey the other day, and I was very surprised at it just runs just like a like any other computer. Plays it full screen.
Right. Well, that's great, so you can watch movies.
Yeah. And I think once I retire this, which I'll be very sad to do, it can probably go in the kitchen where we have like a little, probably 14-inch CRT Sony TV just for watching... Watching TV while you're making the meal, that sort of thing.
Right.
So,
and
I'll
Mac as an appliance.
Yeah, and I'll get one of those iTV, are they called? The little dongles you plug in so you can tune it to... Have you heard about these?
Yes, yeah.
Might get one of those and, turn it into a TV, because that Sony or... Hitachi or whatever it is getting pretty long in the tooth now.
Right. And the Mac would be much more fashionable.
It would, yeah. So,
well, they used to make fun of the Mac for, you know, just a machine to keep all your recipes and stuff on, but now you could keep your recipes and watch some TV.
Yeah, I remember very clearly the joke you made when you covered which film was it in which the guy had a message pad and he kind of saved the world while using it.
Oh yeah, the Stevens Under Siege.
Yeah, that one. And you said, let's hope it doesn't give away any of those top secret recipes.
Right. Yeah. You never know. Yeah, the Newton's been in quite a few movies back during the 90s. It was so high tech that they put it in lots of different movies.
Yeah.
So it's a neat little machine.
Yeah.
And of course, these days, everybody's talking about the Newton because of the tablet burners.
And that's a good intro to our next topic, which is our reactions, predictions, the tablet.
Oh dear.
Yes.
This is kind of obligatory, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. If we can get it out there before, is it Wednesday they do the announcement?
Right. Then we'll look like sages.
Yes, exactly. So, I'll start out. I did not originally believe there was going to be a tablet, because I thought that it would mess with Apple's product line.
Hmm.
Because Apple's product line right now, and for the last, since 12, 13 years since Steve Jobs came back, has been very simple. It's been, here's the guy, if you're a pro who needs a really good laptop, here's the PowerBook or the MacBook Pro. Or here's an iBook if you're just a guy who needs a laptop to go see his friend with and get on the internet or whatever. And I thought that the tablet would kind of mess with that, and there wouldn't really be, well, do I want an iBook or a tablet, or maybe I don't need a computer at all if I've got the tablet.
Right.
But then what happened was I heard that Apple was in talks with publishing companies. So I reckon that Apple is going to do for books, magazines, newspapers, that sort of stuff, print periodicals and things like that, what the iPod did for music.
So like a subscription service, get it through iTunes, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. I think there's going to be like a, I don't know what they call it, but maybe a print media section of the iTunes store where you could pick up that stuff.
Hmm. And the tablet is the way you get it.
Yeah. And I think the presentation of it will probably be exceedingly good.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Now you
and I think a lot of people agree with you. All the evidence has been there.
Yeah. Now you have been very cynical about the tablet on Newton Poetry.
I have, yes. Yeah. Well, it just seems like, from what I've heard, that people have a hard time justifying its existence in the current Apple lineup. Kind of like you said, Apple likes to keep things simple. And so you've got an iPhone, you've got a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, maybe you've got an iMac sitting at home. What do you really need a tablet for? And I'm one of those guys. I have an iPhone. I have, laptops. I have my iMac. I'm just not in that customer base. I do not need something else. Even though it's Apple, and even though I love them, I don't need something else to spend money on.
Right. And it's kind of like the Apple TV, where why would you buy it when you can get a Blu-ray player that'll do a better version of high def and play more movies in high definition? And I think they're kind of falling behind the curve on that one.
Yeah. Now, if you have a lot, if you have a lot of digital movies or digital TV shows, then an Apple TV probably makes sense. If you get more of your movies on iTunes than you get from the video store, an Apple TV makes all the sense in the world. But I just don't see people listening to the radio on their TVs a lot. I don't see people looking through movies a lot on their TV. And if you've got a substantial DVD collection, what do you need an Apple TV for?
My analogy is kind of, if the iMac is what the iMac is to the iBook, the Apple TV is to the iPod. Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a non-portable version that kind of does the same thing.
As a way to digest your media, whatever you've got. Yeah. Well, yeah, if you've got a lot of digital content, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm old school. I like shiny plastic discs with my music and my movies on them. I still like going to the CD store and buying an album on CD and then ripping it to iTunes. Now, I have downloaded iTunes albums, but I always burn them to CD just so I'll have a backup copy.
Right.
You know? And I can't see myself flipping through album notes on my computer. I would rather have a little booklet to do that and do it anywhere I want.
Yeah.
But this is totally subjective. I mean, this is just, you know, this is the way I do media, and it's not primarily on my computer. Unless I've got iTunes running and I'm working or something like that.
But I don't think that the tablet will be... I don't think that the interface will be anything like the iPhone. I think it will look similar, but it will work completely different. You
want to elaborate on that? I'm not going to make any predictions. Okay. I'll let you make the predictions.
So I'm the only one embarrassing myself when I've got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I just reach my iPhone, if I bring my iPhone here, then everything has a pretty consistent look and feel. You know, there's like the gradients and the, which look like they're on pipes and all this stuff. And I think the tablet interface will look very similar to that, but it won't be exactly the same, but it will work completely differently. You will not have the same software keyboard. You might have a software keyboard, but it won't be the same as on the iPhone. You won't have the 4x4 grid of home screen with the dock at the bottom. I think it's going to be completely different.
I think you're right. I think Apple's learned from Microsoft. I read something the other day, I think it was on Gizmodo, about how Microsoft totally screwed up the tablet ideal by just putting a version of Windows on there and expecting people to use a tablet like they do the regular computer, you know, where it's silly. And Microsoft paid the price for it. They weren't successful, nobody bought them.
Whose idea was that?
Apple's found an idea that works. They found this touch system that everybody loves and that's intuitive. People know how to use it. And so I think you're right. I think the controls will be the same. But, you know, what's interesting is if you pay any attention to Apple patent filings, is that they've got some really, like, space-age ideas coming, like 3D interfaces and motion control and all this kind of stuff. I just think something is going to pop up from all that, and we have no idea what it's going to be.
But I think that at the same time, 90% of these Apple patent filings are going to come to nothing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're right. They're just covering their bases.
Yeah.
But
if you work as an engineer at Apple or anywhere else, and you come up with a cool idea, it's kind of your obligation to patent it, really. It's part of your job to patent it for the company.
But out of all the patent filings that I have seen, I mean, there's got to be one or two gems in there where they say, that's a winner, we can make this one work on the new device.
Yeah, and I forget who it was, but somebody had a great idea of combining the Do you remember the filing they had a while ago where you would slide your notebook into the display as like a dock?
Mm-hmm.
And it would...
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody had an idea where that would be what would happen to the tablet.
Right. Which is interesting. I mean, that's a whole new hardware.
It's an interesting idea, but I don't think that really it would be practical. Because you'd need a new display, because the current displays don't support it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need an adapter, like a kind of a weird skeleton thing to support the tablet on the existing 24-inch and 30-inch cinema displays.
Right.
Or maybe that's it. Maybe this is why they've waited so long before introducing the new 30-inch cinema display, which is still basically...
They've got a bunch of work to do.
Which is still basically the same as the one we had in 2003, was it? When I think it was 2003, when it came along at the same time as the G5 Power Mac.
Yeah, the metallic displays.
And that's crazy. I mean, they must be switching to LED backlighting soon, because they're on that, because their eco-friendliness seems really important to them now.
Right. And you're right. If you take a tablet and you dock it to a screen, then why don't they just do a version of Mac OS X on a tablet and call it good? It seems like you don't plug a tablet up to a big display and use it like a computer. You know, that it seems like redundant.
Definitely not.
So it's got to be the standalone device, like your iPhone. You sync with your Mac, and you download media from iTunes, but you don't use it as your primary computer.
Right. And I think it will be something to do with a new iLife suite as well. Because that's been rumored. And I've been pretty convinced since the tablet was announced that they're going to announce a new iLife at the same time.
So what do you think? You're going to edit spreadsheets on a tablet and design flyers and pages?
No. Not iWork. I know there's been all these crazy rumors that they've got a multi-touch version of iWork, but nobody actually said that it was going to be on a multi-touch tablet. They may have just been referring to using the multi-touch trackpad on a MacBook Pro, or even a MacBook now, I think, has it. Or with a Mighty Mouse or Magic Mouse. Then using multi-touch like that. Which I don't think the current iWork does.
But you're thinking more of the iPhoto, iDVD, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And iTunes, of course.
And I think don't bet against iLife 10 as the name. iLife as in iLife X.
Right.
Like Mac OS 10 or QuickTime 10. Because it seems like it would be an appropriate time to start. If they were going to start associating their Mac products with the 10 branding, then it would be a good time to start doing it now, it being 2010, so they can roll their year-based things like iLife and iWork over at the same time.
Yeah. And QuickTime and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a winner.
And
now how about the new iPhone operating system? You think that's coming on Wednesday?
Possibly. I don't know. The last year, it was around March they announced it, and
right.
I don't know. Normally, macOS 10 releases have taken longer for each iteration of the. So, with the exception of a couple, like 10.5 to 10.6, because 10.5 was delayed. macOS 10 releases have always taken longer to release than the. Than the previous one did.
Well, the only reason I could see for a new operating system for the iPhone is that it'll be bundled together with whatever the tablet comes with.
Yeah, and so
it's like here's the iPhone OS for everything.
Yes, And somebody rumored as well that it would have other forms of syncing, which would be great for me with USB 1 syncing here. If it was like a Wi-Fi thing over Bonjour.
Right.
But
yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd be doing that over the Wi-Fi or perhaps over Bluetooth. I hope it's over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Can we make an announcement right now, David?
Yeah. Go on.
Apple just released their first quarter results.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is good news.
And yes, it seems to be always good news. Revenue of $15.68 billion, which is almost $4 billion more than this time last year.
And that's really great news.
And 3.36 million, that's 3,360,000 Macintosh computers sold just during that quarter.
Amazing.
And that's 33% more than what they did last year.
Did you see the graph that Craig Hockenberry tweeted where it's like the iPhone sales? So it's like for the first year it's like very slow and then it just kind of shoots up insanely.
Right.
So like 50 million, I think it's approaching now.
Yeah. Well, last summer when they did the 3GS and then the cheaper 3G.
Yeah, that'll. Yeah, that was a good move, I think. I've still got my 3G here.
Yep, that's what I've got too.
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe upgrading when the new one comes out in the summer. I'm guessing it's going to come out
at
WWDC. Because that's when
they. Right. I think in every other iPhone is good enough.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, my current iPhone does all the things I need. So do I really need another one? I mean, the reason I didn't immediately get a 3GS, apart from saving money, was because I didn't really need a video. Which was
right.
The main new feature. I mean, who needs a compass, really?
Well, they sold 8.7 million iPhones last quarter, which is amazing. It's 100% growth from last year. 100%.
Amazing.
So Steve Jobs setting a goal of 10 million iPhones by the end of, what was it, 2008 or whatever it was. he did almost that much in just a quarter.
Kind of blows it out of water.
And 21 million iPods.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, iPod sales have been good since... When was it they first outsold Macs? 2005? I think it was, because I remember it was the year I got my first iPod.
Right. It was right around the Nano, when the Nano came out.
Yeah. I remember the hype surrounding that.
Yep. So, another all-time highest revenue and profit.
Yeah, these are getting kind of old. can we be in the 90s again for one quarter, please? Yeah.
Right. Or even the early 2000s. I mean, that was still a rough time.
I suppose they still had the Microsoft deal going around then,
But I mean, they didn't have the iPod selling as well. They didn't have the iPhone, and I'll tell you, seeing the Mac sell so well just brightens my heart so much. I mean, it's just so great to hear that people, you know, including the iPhone, including the iPod, people are still buying Macs.
It's kind of spells good news for the Mac in the future, hopefully.
I made a fun purchase over the weekend.
Oh, really?
I took a chance and bought Bento number 3.
Oh, right. Is that's the one they're hoping to eventually kind of replace the FileMaker with, isn't it?
Well, it's more like you're just a person at home with a comic book collection version of FileMaker. I don't know if it'll ever replace
it. I thought the idea was that it was eventually going to replace it. That was the rumor.
Yeah. Well, FileMaker, people love FileMaker. They you know, if you're going to use a database application, FileMaker is well loved on the Windows and the Mac side. And so they'll probably have to do some major updates to Bento or some, you know, make it much, much more powerful.
I have never used any database application apart from, I mean, people should know this. Mm-hmm. I have about, far too many to recount, but I have so many little Apple scripts and no idea I ever managed to live without these. Like, I've got the word count one from, and the title case one from John Gruber, several of it myself, what else have I got? Get all the ones which come with the new apps, of course. In fact, when I install Shovebox, the note-taking / organizing program, it comes with a service. I just highlight something and click and press Command Shift E, and it puts it straight in there.
Oh, that's pretty fancy.
Yeah, so I have so many of those, it's untrue. And of course, they've made that easier now on Snow Leopard, where you can actually. The application this service, which made the scripts into the services on earlier versions, is kind of built into the OS now, right. I'm told. Yeah. Do you use services at all?
No, I haven't dug into it yet. I'm getting used to some other things on Snow Leopard first.
They're very useful. Like the word count one I use all the time when I'm writing. Well, at least on the version I have, pages 08, it doesn't have a word count.
No kidding.
It just type, so I have to use the little Apple script, which isn't a big fuss. It's just, you know.
You probably need to share that with somebody. I bet you a lot of people would appreciate that.
Well, I'm putting it out here now.
Yeah, there you go.
The word counter is available from John Gruber's website, daringfireball.net. There are also instructions there on how to make it into a system-wide service in macOS 10 with a great little utility called this service. And it's a really useful application. I use it all the time. That's a little segment there.
Okay. Good advertisement for Mr. Gruber's site.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to give Bento a try. And what I've noticed already is that it reminds me a lot of like HyperCard back in the day. You know, where it's this really simple, easy, personal database application for you just to keep track of stuff.
Right, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to digging into it.
Man, I'd really love to learn HyperTalk and build some HyperCard stacks. It's a shame they killed it off. I mean, it would make a great macOS 10 thing, but it never really fit into the macOS, did it? Sadly.
No.
I mean, they took away the menu bar in the application that you made. Did you know that?
Yep.
The menu bar disappeared. So you had to, if you wanted a menu bar at the top of the screen, you had to make your own, I think.
Yeah, I've got HyperCard on my Mac SEs that I play around with every once in a while.
Right.
A lot of fun. So anyway, I'll give a full report when I dig more into Bento. And
so, yeah, I'll love to hear that. And another exciting purchase for me, I don't know if anybody will be interested, is I just bought a Holga toy camera.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so...
You're old school.
Old school analog toy camera. I got the 120mm film version. With a glass lens and a flash. Believe it or not, the first Holgers did not have the flash, and they had a plastic lens. I have a friend who has a one with a flash but without a plastic lens.
Now, Holga, that's a Polish camera or something, right? Czechoslovakian?
I believe it's Chinese, actually.
Chinese, all right.
Yeah.
So, nice Chinese camera. Now, here in America, they sell some of those cameras in, like, gift shops where they've updated them and re-released them.
Right, yeah. Well, they still make them today.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. They're big with like some professional photographers like them because they're like portable and the pictures aren't bad if you kind of appreciate that sort of thing.
Right. It's like Polaroid people.
Yeah, like people who still use Polaroids. Yeah. Yeah. Here we are. Here's the Wikipedia page. The Holker camera was designed by T.M. Lee and first appeared in 1982 in Hong Kong.
Oh.
The Holker was intended to provide an inexpensive mass-market camera for working-class client Chinese people in order to record family portraits and events. After
There you
the
go.
cameras began to be distributed in the West, some photographers took to using the Holker for its surrealistic, impressionistic scenes for landscape, still life, portrait, and especially street photography. So, yeah.
There you go. And for young British men to have fun with.
Yes, exactly. So, I guess that about wraps it up, unless you've got anything else to talk about.
Where can people find you at, David?
Oh, people can find me at dpk.org.uk. That's
Okay.
dpk.org.uk. Note that the .uk does not mean it will cost you any more on top of your internet bill to visit my website.
Right. The exchange rate is really great on that.
Yeah, yes.
And people can find me, I'd say primarily for Mac stuff. You can go to newtonpoetry.com. And I've got, the link to my personal blog and stuff on there too. But that's where I do most of my ham-fisted speculations.
Right, and then you have Zenny. Is it Zenny or ZenY or
ZenY,
ZenY?
zen-y.com.
Okay,
Yep.
I'm
That's my
gonna call
personal
it
blog.
Zenny just to annoy you.
But there's got to be a pause. Zen-e, Zen-y, or something. I will work on it.
Okay.
All right. David, it's been fun.
Yes.
This has been our first podcast,
Yes.
and hopefully the first of many.
Indeed. And if you've just found us through iTunes, you can visit our website at helloshow.net. Helloshow.net.
No UK on that
No
one.
UK on that one, no. I believe you can get
Right.
like .uk.net or .net.uk, something like that. But it's hardly ever used here.
Right. And I can see why.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Well, take care of yourself.
Okay, you too.